Trip back in time to the days before picture tubes. I'm your host Corey Walker and I invite you to join me around the old part of radio. Today I'm featuring an hour-long episode from the Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy Show, a popular variety show featuring ventriloquist Edgar Bergen and his dummy Charlie McCarthy. The series ran from May 9, 1937 until July 1, 1956, first on NBC and later on CBS. For your listening pleasure, I've chosen the third episode in the series, which was first heard at 8 p.m. on Sunday, May 23, 1937. The episodes were titled after the guest star appearing in that week's episode, and this episode features guest star Mary Borland. Enjoy.
The makers of Chasen Sanborn Coffee, a superb blend of the world's choice coffees and very reasonable in price, present Mary Borland, Dorothy L'Amour, W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Ray Middleton, Werner Jansen, Don Amici. This is the Chasen Sanborn Hour.
This is the Chasen Sanborn Hour, and this is Don Amici greeting you on behalf of one of America's leading comedians, Miss Mary Borland, our own turtle dove, W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen and his little pal, Charlie McCarthy, versatile and lovely Dorothy L'Amour, Ray Middleton, dramatic young baritone just signed for pictures, and Werner Jansen, America's foremost conductor. Werner Jansen plays Easy on the Eyes. Ever so much. With top hat and monocle, bad boy Charlie McCarthy is at large again, accompanied by his close friend and distracted guardian, Edgar Bergen, who does the talking for them both. Edgar, I don't know why a little scamp like Charlie, who spends so much time looking for trouble, should be so welcome, but he is.
Well, I do know, Don, that Charlie shouldn't be here at all today. The boy has tonsillitis, and he's trying to talk me out of it.
Oh, is that so? Well, what makes you so sure that I'm sick, huh?
Well, because you have a fever of 102.
Is that so?
Yes.
102.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
102 is very bad.
Well, it's the best I can do.
Oh.
If it makes 104, I'll sell.
And then what about your hemoglobin count?
My hemoglobin?
I say your hemoglobin count is 60.
Is that so?
Yes.
That's pretty good, huh?
No, no.
Oh?
No.
Is that bad, too?
That's bad, too.
Boy, I'm a wreck.
Yes. You should have from 90 to 100.
I wouldn't know where to keep them. No.
Keep what?
Those homely goblins.
No, no. Hemoglobin.
The hemoglobin. Globin.
Yes.
I don't know what it is, no.
Well, you're a sick boy.
Yes.
Yes. And I've already called for a nurse.
A nurse?
Yes.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. I'm going to have a nurse?
Yes.
Oh. Maybe I'm sicker than I think I am. Or isn't she? Is she pretty?
Oh, yes, she's very pretty. Yes, she's very pretty. In fact,
Now, don't you lie to me.
No.
I'm too weak to be disappointed. Well, what do you think is wrong with me, doctor?
Well, I really don't know.
You don't know?
No.
That's a fine start you're making. You studied medicine, haven't you? Or is it just a whim of yours?
Oh, no, no. I've studied medicine for 8 years.
8 years?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 8 years.
Yes.
Didn't help, huh?
Oh, yes. But I will admit, in spite of my years of study,
there
are times when I feel as if I don't know a thing about it.
Yeah, well, that's the way you impressed me.
Now, young man, I'm going to sound your chest and I'm going to examine your throat.
Yes. Check my oil, too.
Yes, I'll do it.
Will the examination take long?
The examination won't take long.
It won't take long?
No.
Well, I'll wait then.
All right.
You know, I have suffered, doctor.
I believe so.
Oh, how I've suffered. Suffer. Oh, how I suffered. No one will ever know what I've gone through.
No.
I won't tell them.
I know.
I even suffer when I think of how I suffered.
Is that so?
Suffer all the time. I've suffered so long, I don't think I'd feel good unless I was suffering.
Maybe not.
I don't mind suffering. It's just the pain I can't stand.
Is that so?
Oh, well, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Well?
Young man?
What is that thing, that instrument there? What do you stick those things in your ears for?
Oh, this instrument?
Uh-huh.
We call this a stethoscope.
A stethoscope?
Yes.
Well, what does it do?
Well, with this instrument, I can pick up the sound of your heart beating.
Is that so?
Yes.
I bet you can't get South America on it.
Oh, no, no. Young man, I'm afraid you're in rather bad shape.
Is that so?
Yes. I may have to do a tonsillectomy.
No. You're not going to do no tonsillectomy on me.
Well, now, it's not going to hurt you at all because I'm going to give you an anesthetic.
What's that?
Well, I have chloroform, ether, gas, and a local.
Uh-huh.
Now, what would you like? A mint julep.
No.
Pardon me, Dr. Bergen?
Yes.
You called for me?
Yes, nice of you to hurry. Nice of you to hurry. You make a lovely-looking nurse, Miss L'Amour.
Thank you, doctor.
Lovely, simply lovely.
All right. I'm the patient, madam. I'm the one you're supposed to fuss around.
All right.
I may be sick, but I ain't dead.
All right. This is our patient, Charlie McCarthy.
How do you do?
Oh, so.
Yes. I think we have a tonsillectomy.
Oh, pleased to meet you.
No.
Do you think you'll have to operate?
Well, I'm going to paint his throat with silver nitrate solution and hope for the best. Will you give me the swab and the silver nitrate?
Yes, Dr. Bergen.
Make it two.
Yes, all.
Well, what does this stuff taste like?
Oh, a little like peppermint candy.
You don't have any bubble gum, do you?
No.
Is it strong?
No.
I don't need a chaser?
No. It's only a 2% solution.
Oh, the stuff's cut, isn't it?
Now you open your mouth.
Uh-huh.
Open wide.
What's that thing for with the cotton on the end of the stick?
Oh, this is a swab.
I don't have to swallow the whole thing.
Oh, no.
Well, you be sure and hang on to your end.
Oh, yeah. Open wide.
Uh-huh.
Open wide.
Yeah. Well, come on. You want me to jump for it?
No. There it goes.
Oh, here it comes. That stuff's awful.
I think you'll be all right now in a few minutes.
I don't think I'll live that long. But I do think I better keep my nurse, doctor, because I might have a relapse, you know.
Oh, no.
No?
No. I shall see that Dorothy gets home safely.
Oh, doctor.
Oh, nurse.
Oh, nuts.
Dorothy L'Amour makes a very charming nurse, but nursing is definitely a sideline, for Dorothy is a very talented actress and singer. For acting, I refer you to her newest Paramount picture, The Last Train from Madrid, and for singing, to Dorothy herself and her song, Let's Call the Whole Thing Off.
Things have come to a pretty pass. Our romance is growing flat. For you like this and the other, while I go for this and that. goodness knows what the end will be. Oh, I don't know where I'm at. It looks as if we two will never be one. Something must be done. You say either, and I say either. You say neither, and I say neither. Either, either, neither, neither. Let's call the whole thing off. You like potato, and I like potato. You say tomato, and I say tomato. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. But oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part. And oh, if we ever part, then that might break my heart. So if you like pajamas and I like pajamas, I'll wear pajamas and give up pajamas. For we know we need each other, so we better call the calling off on. Let's call the whole thing off.
Miss L'Amour, that song was lovely, very lovely. Only you can sing it just right, my pretty one.
Thank you, but really, Charlie, I've heard you say that before.
Have I told you how frightfully lonely I was all alone in Hollywood?
Yes, you did. And then I suppose comes the lemonade.
I was coming to that, yes. You don't like lemonade?
Oh, sure. But not with you.
Oh, the girl is out of her mind. She spurns me. Rather cool this evening, don't you think, Miss L'Amour?
Yes, there's a frost, if you can get it.
Oh, I get it, yes. I get it, all right. But why this attitude? Just because of my few platonic friendships like Carol and May and Joe?
Oh, I've heard all about you. Mm. You're Casanova McCarthy, the heartbreaker of Hollywood.
I guess it's the gypsy in me. If I wasn't so darn good-looking, you know.
Charlie, this is the end.
You mean we've, our flaming romance is but a bunch of clinkers?
Yes, Charlie. Let's call the whole thing off.
Oh.
I say laughter.
And I say laughter.
You say after.
But you say after.
Laughter.
Laughter.
After.
After.
Let's call the whole thing off. I like vanilla.
And I like vanilla.
You sarsaparilla.
But you sarsaparilla.
Vanilla.
Vanilla.
Sarsaparilla.
Raspberry.
Let's call the whole thing off. But oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part.
And oh, if we ever part, then that might break my heart.
So if I go for oysters.
Well, I go for oysters.
Well, I still want oysters.
Throw away my oysters.
For we know we need each other, so we better call the calling off on. Let's call the whole thing off.
Thank you. Thank you, Dorothy, and courtesy to you, Charlie.
And now Donald Briggs has a word for everyone who likes good things to eat.
All right, Donald.
Thank you, Donald Meachy. People who like an unusually fine roast of beef know that they must first pick out the choicest cut and then roast it to a turn to bring out all its delicious goodness. You'll be interested to know that the same steps are followed to give you a really superb blend of coffee. First of all, Chase and Sanborn select and blend the world's choice coffees. Then we roast these finer coffees in a way that brings out all their rich, satisfying flavor. And you get Chase and Sanborn dated coffee at its very best. As soon as it's roasted, it's rushed to your grocer, guaranteed fresh and full-flavored by our dating plan. Besides assuring finer flavor, this dating and delivery system does away with the need of expensive containers. Instead, we pack Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in an economical dated bag, and you get the cash saving. Try this superb blend of coffee. Enjoy its smooth, mellow flavor. Buy a pound of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee at your grocer's tomorrow.
Mary Boland is one of our most famous and popular comedians on the stage and on the screen. We are happy to present her in one of her most successful roles, that of Susan Martin in Cradle Snatchers, Miss Mary Boland.
Thank you, Donna Meachy.
Cradle Snatchers, presenting Mary Boland as Susan Martin and Donna Meachy as Jose Vallejo, a young American posing as a Spaniard in whom Susan sees romance incarnate. The scene, the country home of Kitty Ladd, a close friend of Susan's. It is a late Saturday afternoon, and Kitty is in her living room as Susan enters.
Hello, Kitty. Am I terribly late? Well, if I am, it's George's fault. You should have seen what he had me doing.
What, Susan?
Crawling around the attic on all fours, hunting for a decoy. They're used to vamp ducks with, Kitty.
Well, I can't see where George and Roy get all their enthusiasm for duck hunting. Especially when they never bring home anything but headaches.
No, I don't know either. But, Kitty, I'm simply dying to know what your phone call was all about.
Well, Susan, everybody knows my Roy has been running around with some starry-eyed little goose who might easily be his grandchild. Why, I saw him myself at the Ritz.
Yes, I know, it's shameful. But I'm in the same boat. I know George has been philandering.
Both our husbands are behaving like old fools. But with Henry's help, I'm going to bring Roy back to normal.
Henry? Oh, who's Henry?
Henry is a boy. He's 21. I'm going to show Roy I can be just as young as he is and do exactly the same things.
Yes, but you think Henry will stand for it? You know boys are so sensitive.
Henry has to stand for it. That's what I'm paying him for.
You're paying him?
Well, certainly. It's a business proposition. But I think it'll work.
Yeah. Of course it'll work. It's a perfectly marvelous idea. Kitty, I give you credit for courage and resource. But just what is... What is Henry supposed to do?
Well, go places with me and be seen with me, tease, dancing, theaters. Anything to make Roy jealous.
It's simply marvelous. Where'd you get Henry?
I advertised. College student preferred.
Did you get many answers?
Oh, slathers of them. But just one look at Henry, and the job was filled.
Oh, Kitty, do you suppose Henry has any friends?
Lots of them. A fraternity house full.
Now, see here, Kitty. I don't mean to steal your thunder, but I hate to lose my husband. It's such a confession of failure. Kitty, I want one. A boy. A Henry.
I knew you would, Susan, so I ordered a boy for you, too. He and Henry will be here any minute.
Oh, Kitty, how perfectly thrilling.
We've got a case of champagne in the cellar. We can all have dinner here and then go dancing somewhere afterwards.
Kitty, you're a genius. But suppose I don't like my boy. You think I could exchange him?
I guess so. But I think you'll like him. He's a roommate of Henry's. He sells his blood to a medical college. $25 a quart.
Must be good blood.
And he's studying to be an osteopath.
An osteopath? I adore osteopaths.
His name is Vallejo. Jose Vallejo. His father's Spanish.
A Spanish osteopath. Oh, how marvelous.
I'd better tell you about the rate.
Oh, yes, yes, Kitty, yes. What do boys charge?
Well, I'm paying Henry $2,000 for 6 months and expenses.
But for both of us, don't you think there might be a discount?
Well, I asked Henry about that, but he didn't think so.
No, I don't suppose this is like a fire sale.
That must be the boy of now.
Buenas noches, señor.
Oh, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I'll be dying of excitement.
Well, Susan, here he is.
Oh, señorita.
Oh, well, well, well. Now, isn't this nice? Oh, you don't even have to introduce me, Kitty. Oh, I know a Spaniard when I see one. There's something about a Spaniard that never fails. You are Señor Jose Vallejo, Nesta?
Si, señora. And your obedient servant. I kiss your hand.
Oh.
Well, I don't think I'm needed here. I'm going to find Henry.
You speak Spanish, senora?
Well, conversationally, I'm null and void, but between you and me, Jose, emotionally, I am Spanish.
I like your eyes, senora.
Oh, and... I like your eyes, senor.
I can tell you myself why. It is for the reason they are fearless. For instance, you are senora.
Mm.
That means you have a husband. Well, least of all do I fear husband.
Oh, is that so? Well, how crazy of you.
If you doubt it, it is because you do not know me, senora. Am I not Don Jose Vallejo, who with one grip tore the bars from the palace window at Madrid that I might better see the black eyes of lady-in-waiting to the queen? Am I not Don Jose Vallejo, in whose veins flows the blood of Castilian princes, who loved as they fought, fiercely and furiously?
Oh, and for only $2,000.
Husbands. Husbands, white, measly worms, caramba.
Oh, Jose, say your marvelous. You know, you're wonderful, simply wonderful.
Look, look, Senora. There is a moon coming up to drip its golden light around us. And there are stars and the sweet lush scent of big red roses. So what do we care for husbands, I ask you that?
Nothing. Nothing. Not a single thing.
Your husband come and he find us and he shoot and he do not miss. What matter? You may die. But at least you have known a man.
And to think you're an osteopath, too.
Yes, senor. You want I should show you?
Oh, I'd love it if that, but I adore it. Oh, shall I sit here on the couch? I think I'd better take off my shoes. Always relax better than shoes off. There.
So, we begin on the back.
Oh, there you are, marvelous. Oh, dear, you're making an awful mess of my hair. Oh, I love it. Oh. Oh. I'll never be the same after this. Oh, I feel so relaxed and so loose.
Susan Martin, what is this? What's going on here?
George, what do you do here?
That's what I'm asking you. What are you doing here? And with this...
Oh, George, now I can explain.
Explain after what I've seen with my own eyes? Look at your hair. Look at your dress. Look at your feet. I wonder you dare to look me in the face.
Senor Martin, do not question a woman's honor in my presence, for am I not Don Jose Valero?
Hey, hey, young man, I'll oblige you to keep out of this. Now, Susan, where did you get him, and what are you doing
with him? Oh, don't be absurd. You talk as if he was some sort of bug. He's just one of the numerous people I've met. While you've been too busy to give me the pleasure of your society. By the way, I thought you'd gone hunting. Just what are you doing here?
What I'm doing here is my business. I'm still waiting for your explanation.
Well, it's all very simple. The boys came down for dinner, and we're going to Bardi's to dance later.
Bardi's? My wife at a place like that.
Why not? You've been there.
I? Now, Susan...
Certainly you have. Oh, don't look so innocent. I know all about your petty philandering. You take me for a fool?
Oh, how can you accuse me of such a thing?
Because it's true. I suppose Roy's in the garden telling Kitty some cock and bull story about that little blonde of his.
Roy and I have been friends for years, and I know he's innocent of any petty philandering, just as I am.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Martin.
Well, what is it, Paul?
The young ladies you sent away in the car, sir, are back again.
Yeah. Oh, the young ladies.
Ah, senorita.
Quiet, you.
They say you promised them some champagne, sir, and a party, sir, and they're not going to leave until they get it.
Listen, Paul, go out and put a case of champagne in the car and tell the young ladies to go to somewhere and drink it by themselves.
Very good, sir.
Oh, now that isn't nice, George. Why don't you invite them in? We're leaving just as soon as I get my Spanish shawl.
Oh, Susan, don't go. Now let me explain.
George Martin, I'm tired of your explanations. For years, you've been running around making an old fool of yourself. Well, what's sauce for the goose is applesauce for the gander. I'm going to do a little running around myself. I've got a dancing chic. I'm just crazy to learn to swing it. Get a champagne jag, stay out all night, and do all the things that you've been doing for the last 10 years. Come, Jose.
Hey, you Latin from Manhattan, if you take one step...
George Martin, you let my decoy alone.
Now, Susan, don't you dare to leave this house.
Oh, why? I'm only going on my annual hunting trip. As you told me once, George, you said, Susan, you don't know the thrill of it, to be standing in the hush gray dawn of a misty morning, and suddenly out of nowhere you see a bird in flight. First one, then two, and then three of them. Breathlessly you take sight. Breathlessly you pull the trigger. And what do you bring home? Chickens.
Oh, Susan.
Adios, George. I may be gone a day and I may be gone a week. But while I'm gone, you can wait, as I have waited for 10 years. Come, Jose.
Si, senora. To hear is to obey. Am I not Don Jose Valeo, in whose veins...
Yes, yes, Jose. I know all about your veins.
Now, Susan, wait.
I'm going. And while I'm away, George, I wish to heaven you'd learn a little Spanish. Caramba!
So, Miss Boland, the rest of the cast, and myself, thank you. The Chase and Sanborn Hour with W.C. Fields, Mary Boland, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Ray Middleton, Dorothy L'Amour, and Werner Jansen continues in just a moment.
Bum, bum, bum. Are you listening, Mother? Oh, the tintinnabulation of those bells, bells, bells. Oh, hello, Miss Boland. I'm Charlie McCarthy.
Not Casanova McCarthy of Hollywood.
The very same.
I think Casanova was quick enough, don't you? Although he really wasn't as great a musician as Nero, was he?
Well, Werner Jansen is quite a dancer.
Yes, he is. I love the way he conducts. I just adore it. He absolutely terrifies me. I wonder what would happen if he pointed at the wrong instrument. That'd be most unfortunate. Oh, what were you saying, young man?
Oh, well, that was so long ago, I...
Oh, yes. Charlie McCarthy, the Casanova of Hollywood. That's such a cute name. Are you Spanish, not McCarthy?
They call me Don Juan McCarthy.
Don Juan.
That's right. Don Juan, and three to go.
Yes. Oh, they do? How interesting. I can see why they might say that. That look in your eye.
Oh, you've noticed it too, huh? Oh, why was I cursed with this fatal charm?
Your left eye looks the most Spanish. The pupil's darker.
Yes, a week ago they were both Spanish. And closed.
Are you an osteopath, Master McCarthy?
No, those guys rub me the wrong way. I'm not a chiropractor either.
Oh, a chiropractor, how nice. You know, I've often wondered what the chiropractor thinks about. What do you think about Master McCarthy?
Well, right now I'm beginning to think I like W.C. Fields.
Oh, you mean Willie? Willie, Uncle Willie? Yeah. Oh, he's such a charming man. Such savoir-faire, such poise, such, what shall I say?
Such a nose. Honest, if he painted green stripes on it, it would look like an awning.
Yes, now that you bring it up, Uncle Willie has quite a nose, hasn't he? Would you call it Roman or not?
I did call it Redwood. That's what got me in trouble.
I must introduce you to Willie. You two will get along so well together.
I'm not so sure.
Oh, not such a joke. Remember my motto. He who hesitates is lost.
Yeah, well, I'm not lost. I'm ruined.
Charlie, I'll call you when Mr. Fields wants to see you.
You mean I should wait here until Mr. Fields wants to see me?
Yes, Charlie.
Yeah. Yes. Silver threads among the gold.
Thank you, Miss Boland. Somehow I have a hunch you'll really fix Charlie right. Werner Jansen gives his individual interpretation to excerpts from Johann Strauss's Tales from the Vienna Woods. That was swell, Werner. Thank you. Thank you indeed, Werner Jensen.
Clang, clang, clang. What is this sound I hear? The Redwood Nose is coming. Its headlights drawing near. We love this jolly bumpkin for laughter that he yields. We greet with gladsome welcome our W.C. Fields. Well, Bill, how did you like my clang, clang, clang?
Don't even mention that. That's a bait warner, eh? Means black bear.
All right, Bill. Amici shall not clang tonight. Anyway, we're all one big happy family, aren't we?
I guess we are. I don't know. It isn't so happy, Don, when you analyze it.
Why, you thinking about Charlie again this week, Bill?
Oh, not particularly Charlie, everybody. The musical highlight on the program has been airing disparaging opinions about me.
You mean Werner Jensen?
I don't mean Ann Harding. I heard Werner telling Mary Bogle the other day, Werner Jansen.
It's Werner Jansen and Mary Boland.
Okay, everybody knows that. I heard him telling her that he didn't think I had a very pretty voice. And I killed a song last Sunday.
Oh, now, Bill, Werner wouldn't say anything like that.
Yeah, well, he said I had a voice that sounded as though I was yodeling from the inside of a whiskey barrel out through the bunghole.
A bunghole baritone, huh?
Now, listen, Don, do I look a man like a man that was addicted to alcoholic stimulants?
Why, not at all. Not at all, Bill.
Oh, that's funny. I thought I did.
All right, then, you do.
Don, I was just thinking about the time when I was a young man.
Oh, reminiscing, huh?
Yeah. Another thief and myself. Another little chum and myself. Wonderful little chap, nice family, too. He lived with his grandmother over a saloon. She used to get blotto. What a gin hound.
His grandmother? Well, what happened, Bill?
Well, don't be impatient, please, Don.
Okay.
We went out one night for a stroll, when all of a sudden, to our great dismay and astonishment, my friend tripped over a basin down in the cellar and made a terrific racket.
What cellar?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you about it. We casually wandered into a stranger's cellar.
Well, who was the stranger?
If I'd have known who it was, it wouldn't have been a stranger, would he? Well, the man went down that owned the place. He heard the noise. He lit a candle.
A candle in a house?
Yeah, and that was the early days, Don. It wasn't until 10 years later that Edison invented the electric light. Bell came in with the telephone. Fulton quickly followed with a steamboat. Automobiles began to run up and down the street. Dossel Darwin hung his head. He knew his day had gone. The days of the runaway horse were over. Automobiles were killing people instead.
Yeah, progress is remarkable, isn't it, Bill?
Pajamas came to take the place of the long woolen nightshirt, and the double-toed sock was still in the office.
Yeah, Bill, I know. But,
The rubber tire had taken the place of the dog.
The rubber tire had taken the place of the dog?
Yeah, a man found a piece of rubber tire in his sausage. We knew then that prosperity was just around the corner. The patent mousetrap.
Bill, look. Now, Bill, you were down in the stranger's cellar. Do you remember?
Oh, yes. Thanks, Don. I'm glad you reminded me. The man reached for a can of prune whip. He wound up, and he let fly. The can hit me plumb on the bupkey.
The bupkey?
Yeah, the fight was on. Fight, fist to fly. See the gash right on my eye. The blood is gushing.
Gushing?
Yeah, gushing. Get a bag. Buy your coffee in a bag. I should have said rag. Go ahead. Say, Don, do you think that's why Chase and Sanborn put their coffee in bags, and in case of a fight like this, nobody gets hurt?
Well, that might be. I never gave it a thought.
Oh, Donald, how are you? I'm so glad we're all here together. So I can say this to all of us, for after all, I always say that we must all hang together.
Let me out of this.
Yeah. Now, you know, but if we don't fail, we might none of us hang at all.
Fix on.
Yes, yes, of course, Miss Bolin. Bill, you know Mary, don't you?
Oh, yes, I know Mary. Hi, Mary, hi. It's Mary Bergen, isn't it? Is she a relative, Charlie Bergen?
Oh, Bill, Bill, it isn't Mary Bergen, it's Mary Bolin. Charlie Bergen and Edgar, Charlie...
Oh,
Edgar...
yeah, go ahead, yeah. That's fine. Hi, Mary.
Oh, I'm just wonderful, Willie, just wonderful. And now I want to prepare you for a little surprise, a simply scrumptious surprise.
Nothing surprises me. Go ahead.
I found you a new companion. He's so anxious to meet you and shake you by the nose.
Here it comes.
Oh, dear, help me, how silly of me, how silly of me. Of course, I meant by the hand, Bill.
Yeah, the nose might be safer.
He's a chiropractor, and he wants to be your bosom friend. As Kipling always put it, the day is lost.
Oh,
that day without... Just a minute, I'm sorry. That day without a new found friend. A new found... say hello to Willie, Charlie.
Hello, Mr. Fields.
Hello, piece of grade B lumber.
Oh, dear, isn't Uncle Billy cute, Charlie? He always says the funniest things, and he's so distinguished. He has the most distinguished nose I ever saw.
Boy, she's asking for it.
better keep his nose out of this, Miss Bolin.
Yeah, keep my nose out of it and yours, too.
I think friendship is such a wonderful thing. It makes people so friendly. Don't you think so, Willie?
Who cares?
Now, really. Really, Willie, really, you are not yourself tonight. I don't know who you are, but you're not yourself. Do you feel well? Charlie, ask Willie how he feels.
I should know better, but here it goes. How do you feel, Mr. Fields?
I feel all right. You want to make anything out of it? You ever see a kid like that? He always wants to pick a fight. I'll saw his arm off.
Now, don't you worry, Charlie. I'll straighten this thing out.
Personally, I doubt it.
Oh, I've seen it happen so many times before. Some of the best friendships start with hatred.
Got worse.
I certainly had a good start.
Willie, I know in my heart of hearts that Charlie really and truly loves you.
Now, wait a minute. This has gone far enough. You're not going to start that again.
Now, Willie, that's really being very rude. I've tried to be the little spider that weaves the web of friendship. But no matter how nicely you insult people, I don't seem to understand it.
No.
I'm leaving. Come with me, Charlie. Come.
That makes it perfect. I'm glad to get rid of that kettle of fish.
Oh, now look, calm down, Bill. Why don't you just forget all about Charlie?
I can't. There's a lot of elephant in me.
Oh, Bill. Look, haven't you found that story about an elephant never forgets to be a complete fallacy?
1,001 no's. On the contrary, now down at Paramount.
But Bill, now I thought we understood each other. You were not to mention anybody's name.
Oh, all right, Don. Down where I work, you know what I mean. No sense in mentioning the name. Everybody knows it.
Paramount.
Please, now, Bill, don't even whisper it.
No. Well, down there where we're making a picture about 20 years ago.
Oh, I didn't know you were in pictures 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. In those days, I was known as Little Baby W.C. I was a bit chubby, but strong.
What do you mean?
Dismiss it. We were shooting a circus scene in the picture. We had a whole herd of elephants. I came upon one monstrous beast, breathing in pain and trumpeting.
Bill.
Was I off key?
Yeah, slightly, but go on.
I perceived the great mammoth had run a carpet cat into a ponderous paw.
You mean foot.
I often wondered what they call it. And being an ardent lover of animals, I extricated the cat from Mousy's paw. That was her name, Mousy.
Oh, well, say, that was kind of you.
Yeah, well, 20 years later, we were still making retakes for the same picture. It's Three directors had died of old age. One died of ennui. And scurvy began to show its ugly head. The old spirit of Look Thy Neighbor, that old spirit of Carry On, was still with us.
Now look, Bill, getting back to the elephant.
Oh, yes. Well, the elephant looked up at me. She recognized me. Her face lit up in it like a church. Can you imagine the great pachyderm's face lit up? What radiance! The entire scene was bathed in effulgent light.
Say, that's very poetic, but what happened?
Ah, yes, the elephant never forgets. She lifted her proboscis.
Her what?
Her trunk. Pardon me if I get too literary. The elephant entwined the great trunk around my fragile body. I was fragile in those days. Tipped the beam at 120 in the raw.
Say, it's pretty light for you, Bill.
I used to be a reindeer jockey.
A reindeer jockey?
Never mind, I was fragile through worry. A dear old aunt of mine, whom I'd never seen, died in Bulgaria.
In Bulgaria?
Drinking buttermilk. During the Indian uprising.
Oh, now look, go on, Bill, please. What did the elephant do?
That's right, yes. We were in a circus. The elephant lifted me out of what she thought was the 10-cent seats and deposited me in what she believed to be the dollar seat.
Well, that's an excellent way of repaying her debt of gratitude.
Oh, yes, I have dedicated the following verse to the elephant. Pachyderm, pachyderm, blow thy trumpet. Drink this bucket of tea and crumpet.
Say, you know, Bill, I'm surprised that you don't make a life work out of this beautiful poetry you write.
Yes, read my book.
Your book?
Yes, a cherry little volume entitled Epitaphs on Tombstones or Fun in the Cemetery. Don't miss it if you can. May I give you a few samples?
No, don't bother, Bill.
Here is epitaph page 197.
Bill.
I loved my mother. I hated to leave her.
Bill.
But what could you do with scarlet fever?
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Another on page 106.
That's fine, Bill.
Here lies the mother of 28.
Thank you, Bill.
There might have been more.
Goodbye,
but
Bill. Goodbye. Thank you, Bill. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Back to page 4.
Thank you. Goodbye, Bill. Goodbye.
There lies the remains of Mark.
Goodbye, Bill. Goodbye. Thank you. Thank you very much, W.C. Fields.
I'll always remember working with lovely Sonia Henie in the 20th Century Fox picture, One in a Million. In it, I sang a song to Sonia that I like to recall, Who's Afraid of Love?
Who's afraid of love? It's something we sing about. I haven't the slightest doubt that life without it is cold. Who's afraid of love? What else are we living for? How can anyone ignore the sweetest story that's told? Those who found love know nothing more sweet to hear than the sound of I love you, you love me. So who's afraid of love? It's stuff of which dreams are made, and dreams can't make me afraid. Who? It's up. make me afraid. Who's afraid? Oh.
Thank you, and thank you, Werner, for that noble musical support. Every once in a while, it's pleasant to think that nowadays all of us can enjoy things that used to be considered priceless luxuries. So on that subject, carry on, Donald Briggs.
Thank you, Don Amici. Yes, there was once a time when really fine coffee was only for the wealthy. But today, every family can serve at their own table the choice coffees of the world, blended and roasted to perfection. Chase and Sanborn coffee. Every pound of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee is guaranteed fresh and full-flavored by our dating plan and rapid delivery system. So you get this superb blend at the very peak of its marvelous goodness. Dating and rapid delivery also do away with the need for expensive containers. Instead, we use the economical dated bag and give you the saving. Enjoy this rich, satisfying blend at every meal. Buy a pound of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
From Eugene O'Neill's great play, Emperor Jones, Louis Grunberg, outstanding modern American composer, has created what is acclaimed the greatest American opera. Ray Middleton, who recently starred in All Points West, sings the role of Pullman Porter Jones, who kills two men and escapes to an island in the West Indies where he sets himself up as emperor. His reign of cruelty causes the people to rise against him, and Emperor Jones rushes into the forest toward the sea and safety. The angry cries of the mob follow him, and suddenly the emperor, frantic with fear, is alone, lost in the night and the maze of the tropical forest. Emperor Jones.
Soft ever a job ain't no training for a hike like this. Hear that old drum. Sure gets nearer from the sound. They's coming fast. Lord God, don't let me see no more of them spooks. That gets my goat. Spooks. Oh, I better beat it quick when I get them notions. Lord, it's black here. Don't this night ever come to an end?
Ah, you fool, nigger. What you scared at? Get in there. Ain't nothing but trees. Get in there.
Oh, Gory. I can't tell nothing from these trees. Gory, nothing around here looks like I ever seen before. I done lost the place, sure enough. It's mighty queer. Woods, is you trying to put something over on me? Who's there? What is you? Get away from me before I shoot you up! Get away! Get out!
Lord,
was a poor sinner, a poor sinner. I knows I've done wrong, I knows it. When I catches Jeff cheating with loaded dice, my anger overcomes me and I kills him dead. Lord, I've done wrong. When that God hits me with the whip, my anger overcomes me and I kills him dead. Lord, I've done wrong. And down here, where these fool bush niggers raises me up to the seat of the mighty, I steals all I could grab. Lord, I've done wrong. I knows it. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you.
enjoyed some great laughs from today's play. You just heard the Edgar Bergen Charlie McCarthy Show, guest starring Mary Borland. It was first aired on NBC on the evening of Sunday, May 23, 1937. I would love to hear from you about today's program. You may email me at corey@cfisfm.com, that's C-O-R-E-Y, or write me at Old Part of Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week. Thank you.